It's easy for us to imagine that the rites of the temple in Jerusalem, the worship of the faithful Jews in the day of the Lord Jesus, that those rites were very much akin to our worship today, with priests decked in beautiful, immaculately pressed vesture, with immaculate hands and an immaculate sanctuary, with clean, crisp linens for a crisp and clean sacrifice. This was not so. Rather, the temple in Jerusalem, the center of life for faithful Jews, that temple was very often less grand and glorious cathedral, and more often butcher shop. In preparation for the celebration of the Passover at the time of the Lord Jesus, involved the slaughtering of the Passover lambs. It involved bringing the sacrificial lamb to the outer court of the temple, slitting its throat and draining its blood, bringing that blood to the altar of the temple and pouring the blood over the altar. If that's not squeamish enough for you, a census was taken just a couple of decades after the time of Jesus. And from that census, we know that an average Passover involved the slaughtering, the preparation of around 250,000 lambs. We know that the altar in the temple had special holes which fed into trenches, which carried blood out of the temple. If that makes us a little squeamish, if the idea of sacrifices of rites that involved so much blood you needed to think of an irrigation system to get the blood out, if that makes us feel a little uncomfortable and thankful that we have our finely pressed vestments and immaculately clean sanctuary, then that is because we have forgotten something that our fathers knew. We have forgotten a truth that is ancient, that is written into creation. The simple truth, the ancient truth, that life was in the blood. Life is in the blood. It's part of the mystery of creation. From the ancient Roman epileptics who would run out onto the floor of the arena to drink the blood of gladiators in the hopes of gaining their strength and their vigor, to contracts sealed with the mixing of blood, the ancients knew that blood was powerful, that blood had meaning, that blood had the life. Even in our own hygienic society, we know that blood has power. We know that it's something significant. Otherwise, we wouldn't be so squeamish about losing it or seeing it. The scriptures bear witness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Sadly, in much of modern Christianity, people want to shy away from words like priest and altar and sacrifice and blood. Many see the traditional language of Christianity as something old, something primitive, something best forgotten, something barbaric. Language of blood and sacrifice has become something uncivilized. I grew up as a rural Pentecostal singing a hymn which I dare say will not make it in most modern hymnals. But we used to sing with vigor, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Even as we hear the words, they seem primitive. They seem barbaric. And this is nothing new. The church's first heresy, the first assault on the gospel that the church had to face, Gnosticism, was at its heart a heresy that hated blood. It was a heresy of intellect and wisdom. It was a sophisticated heresy. It was a heresy that believed God could not take on flesh. God could not be sacrificed. God could not give us flesh and blood. Something dirty, something primitive. You see, the Gnostics believed that all of that sacrifice, all of that flesh and blood, that was something old and barbaric. It was something primitive. Yet the heart of Christianity, the heart of real Christianity, beats with blood, beats with life. A Christianity that doesn't talk about blood, about Christ's blood, is a Christianity that is a dry intellectual shell or a philosophy, but it's not the gospel. Jesus himself did not communicate himself to us by writing. He never composed a gospel. He left no offspring. Instead, he gave himself to us with his body and blood, his very life. That's what we mean when we say we are the body of Christ. It means we beat with the blood of Christ, blood that sanctifies, blood that strengthens, blood that heals. It means that to him, we are not slaves or even servants, but members of his body, parts of his life, bound in blood. In the Blessed Sacrament, whose institution we celebrate this night, the Lord Jesus looked upon us, weak and anemic, and instead of watching, he gave of his own blood, of his own life. Archbishop Sheen said that on the cross and in the Blessed Sacrament, God performed the first blood transfusion, giving life to souls that have grown pale and weak and sickly. The English poet George Herbert said, "Love is that liquor sweet and most divine, which my God feels as blood, but I as wine." In every reception of Holy Communion, in every faithful and holy reception of Holy Communion, we receive a little bit more of his life into ours. And who he is, not who he was, who he is, permeates who we are. And we become a little more like him. In the Eucharist, the ultimate gift is given, his life, his blood. Blood which recreates and renews. Blood which doesn't merely wash over a fallen world, but renews it from within, from its very veins, bringing the life of God. And so tonight, as we prepare to celebrate the Triduum, as we enter these solemn days, we give thanks for this gift. We give thanks for this gift of life, for this blood. We give thanks that the God of the universe gave us not ideas or a philosophy, but gave us his blood, gave us his life. And yes, it is uncivilized, and yes, it is primitive, and yes, it is barbaric. And this night, it is our only joy, our only hope and our only salvation.